The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk this morning. It astounds me sometimes how God works things out. It shouldn't. You know, we should just know that God's in control and he's walking us through. He orders our steps if we will just listen to him. But, you know, my message this morning, I just simply have entitled it, War. Now, Pastor Otis didn't know what my message was going to be. And yet, God has established our worship in such a way that it brought us not only recognizing who we are in Christ and how powerful we are and what we have in the name of Jesus Christ, but how to come before him in worship and see the strongholds broken. I've been working for about 3 weeks now on a message called God's Top 10. This is my title, God's Top 10 Suggestion or Commandments. And I'm going to talk about the Ten Commandments. And I've been working on that message. And I was totally intended to share that message, begin sharing that message with you this morning. However, after last week and Pastor Dan talking about the spirit of Python, people were, you know, that they just kind of, most of you started thinking about the different spiritual forces that are at work. And that Python is one of those forces. We're going to take a look at a scripture real quick where that is mentioned. However, what God started dealing with me about was that you know, my message about Ten Commandments is right on. We need to do that, and we will. But right now, we need to talk about the spiritual war that is going on all around us, that's in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual conflict that is taking place. And I sometimes, you have to forgive me because I've been in this Christian walk for a long time. I've heard all kinds of different teachings, and I've heard teachings about Python, Leviathan, Legion, all, you know, these are different names of different supernatural forces, demonic forces that are in high ruling places. They're not just your average demon. They have authority. And God has placed them. So I've heard these teachings, and I sometimes, and I know this stuff, and I sometimes just forget that I need to keep sharing these things with people. I need to keep talking about this because these are important principles when it comes to our Christian life and the warfare that we are in. How many would agree that we are in a battle? And most Christians would. And yet, we say that, but I'm not sure we're really convinced of it. I'm not so sure that we really understand that we are fighting a war. I titled this message, War, you know, because I believe that it's imperative that we understand the things that are taking place in the spirit realm and the power and authority that Jesus Christ gave us to bind and loose and to take authority over the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in spiritual places. We have been given authority through Jesus Christ. And we need to walk in that authority. It was a pastor that really didn't believe in that authority, and he was up speaking one morning, and he was getting defiant, and he said, "If the devil is real, I'd just dare him to appear." And poof, he appeared right in their presence. Everybody in the church ran out, including the pastor, except one guy, and he just sat there. And the devil did everything he could to scare this guy, to frighten him. And finally, he just gave up and he said, "Okay, tell me, why aren't you afraid of me?" He said, "I've been living with your sister for 30 years. Ooh, I'll pay for that one later, probably. Amen. Listen, you know, it's fun to joke around about the enemy, but the truth is, he's no laughing matter. He is real. And no, he's not going to poof manifest himself right here in our presence. But I can tell you this, there are demonic forces roaming around here trying to have their way.
That's right.
And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to keep them out. Not just mine. You need to understand that. I have people come to me all the time, oh, Pastor, you know, we need to pray over this place because there's this demonic force or that demonic force that's trying to get in. Yeah, they're always trying to get in. They're always around here. They're in the spiritual realm. But they will either get to you or not because you take a stand against them or you refuse to. Your spiritual, we're talking about your spiritual authority. Amen. Hi, Jim. Sure is good to see you.
Amen.
Amen. It's because we individually, and here's the great thing, when we begin to recognize this as a corporate body, the power and the influence that we begin to have is incredible. Because it takes place in the spirit realm. And when it takes place in the spirit realm, it eventually takes place in the physical realm. Amen. War. We're at war. In 1969, Edwin Starr had a Motown hit called War. How many, anybody in here old enough to remember it? Yeah. War. Oh, yeah. Otis can do it. I can't. What is it good for?
That's right.
Absolutely nothing. And then he'd say, its only friend is the Undertaker. I mean, it was an anti-Vietnam War song is what it was. And, you know, I don't want to debate whether the Vietnam War was something we should have been involved with or not. That's not the issue here. It's not what I want to talk about. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Vietnam War because the reality is it was never a war in the minds of the leaders of this nation. Congress never declared war for Vietnam. In fact, Congress has not declared war since 1941.
Mm.
But do we believe it was a war? Sure we do. There was people died. Many young men died in that on both sides. It was a horrible thing. We don't like war. I do not like war. I do not support aggression. However, I do know this, that sometimes even in the natural, nations have to fight. And if a nation doesn't fight, guess what? Those aggressors will just waltz in and take over. We would be, had we not taken a stand during World War II, we would probably all be speaking German right now. The whole world would. It would be a terrible place. You see, there are times that we have to fight. But it's important that we recognize, you know, in World War II, we had no problem with declaring war. We knew. Japanese attacked us, it was time to declare war. We declared war. And then we went to Europe. And we fought. It was horrible. Horrible things happened to men there. People, the residents, you know. I can't describe it anymore, you know, my thoughts about how much I hate it. I don't want it to happen. But at the same time, I recognize there are times that it must. So what I say to you about war is this. We are in an epic battle. It's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. We don't know how long. We really don't have a real good grasp on how long this war has been going. We don't know when Satan actually rebelled against God. But it had to be at least 6,000 years ago. At least. Because that's the history of our world and the history from Adam and Eve to date. So we know that this battle has been going on and on and on and on and on. And we also know that God, listen to this very carefully. I want you to get a proper perspective on it. God is all powerful. Satan rebelled against God. The enemy, the devil, the serpent, whatever term we want to use for him. He rebelled against God. And what happened to him? God won. God cast him out. Okay. Now, he still had access to heaven. He was able to come and go. But he no longer held his position in heaven. Many think that was his position was worship leader. You can study that out for yourself. But the reality is, the enemy is a force to be reckoned with. This is what I want you to understand. But God is still all-powerful. We do not live in a universe where the force of evil and the force of good have the same amount of power. And it just depends on which one you choose. This is not Star Wars. You understand? The force be with you? No. Yahweh be with you. And when he is with you, you have all power, all authority, delegated to you by his son, Jesus Christ. All right, I just want to look at some things here. I hope that what I'm saying to you this morning will help you. Because we are called by Almighty God to walk in this earth as representatives of the kingdom of God. And as representatives of the kingdom of God, we have been given certain responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities is not to entertain or allow demonic forces to have any kind of control in our lives. To stand against them and to recognize how subtle they are and how they move in. Remember last week, Pastor Dan talked about Python and how it subtly moves in and wraps its coils around people, churches, areas, nations. And it stands back. Here's the thing. Python is a ruling entity that gives orders and commands other demonic forces to do his bidding. He's not the only one. There's many more. When I talk about the Vietnam War, in November of 1965, November the 14th, American troops were called to Vietnam, and they were led by Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore. How many of you saw the movie We Were Soldiers, Mel Gibson? Okay, that was a depiction of what I'm talking about. I have not seen the whole movie. In fact, one day a group of us were doing something, and we went back to my house and we turned the TV on, and that movie was on, and that was the first time I saw that movie, any parts of it. And I got to tell you, it disturbed me. It disturbed me deeply. And the reason it disturbed me is because I recognized that what we were seeing depicted on TV played out in real life. these young men that were standing in battle, there was 400 troops from the United States that went there to fight against 4,000 Viet Cong. And they were being attacked and attacked and attacked, and they were standing, they stood. They stood against them, and they stopped them. But people were dying. People were being maimed. You know, it was horrible. And it disturbed me because I was thinking, I guess the way I think about these kind of things is, you know, that could have been my son. It was some people's sons. So it's painful to me to see things like that. But you know, things like that are happening in this earth because the love of God is not being spread abroad. So if we can recognize that we are called to do warfare in this heavenly realm, called to pull down principalities and powers, called to stop the work of the enemy on every side through prayer, through seeking God, through doing His work, through ministering life to people, then we will come to a place in our lives where we are recognizing and we are seeing in our community the manifestation of the things that we've been praying for, people's lives being turned around. We need right here in this community, we need to see marriages healed.
That's right.
They're falling apart. More so in Meigs County than most areas around. Why? I think it's spiritual. I think there's a spiritual stronghold. Children are being abused. Drug addiction is on the rise. All these things. And let me tell you something. In our area, witchcraft abounds. They're the physical manifestation of the enemy. We're the physical manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. Do we hate them? No, we're not going to hate them. But we are going to take a stand against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places that are motivating and controlling them. And in Jesus' name, there will be encounters. Let me tell you, you cannot do spiritual warfare without having physical encounters with the enemy. You can read it all through the New Testament. Paul sought to do God's will, and every time he did, he went out to do his will. What would happen? The enemy would show up. Now it's going to happen. But guess what? Hallelujah! If we know who we are in Christ, the enemy will be defeated. How many times Paul encountered demonic forces and he cast them out of people? The disciples did this. The followers of Christ did it regularly. We're afraid today to do such things. We have a society that has taught us that there isn't such thing as a demon. It's a psychological problem, and you have to deal with it on a level, on the proper level of being able to speak into people's lives with the right education, I guess is what I'm trying to say. If you don't have the right education, you shouldn't be trying to deal with those kind of things. Paul just said, come out in Jesus' name. Had nothing to do with education other than knowing what the Word of God says. So, you know, I'm not opposed. Please don't think that I'm opposed to being educated and becoming a psychologist or any of those areas of expertise. Those are wonderful. We need God's people in those areas. But don't think that you're going to be able to just deal with every situation on a psychological level. Because there are principalities and powers and demonic forces that are working to destroy people's lives. Let's look. Acts chapter 16. Hallelujah. Before we read this, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, today I just ask, Lord, that you give me direction and wisdom. I ask that this word would be brought forth in such a way that it becomes life to your people. And that we can see the importance and how it can impact our life daily. In Jesus' name. I started to tell you that I'd been working on a message, the Ten Commandments. But, you know, God just, he just laid it on my heart that, you know, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about spiritual warfare. We need to talk about the things that the enemy is trying to do and how he is destroying people's lives. So I decided yesterday. I kept hearing from the Lord that this is what I needed to do. So I decided yesterday with a lot of anxiety over it. I got to tell you, I'm the kind of person that I like to have, when I get up here to speak, I like to have everything in order. I like to know, you know, I like it. I like the opportunity to be able to study for weeks before I bring a message because I feel like I've gotten all the information that I need to have, and I can share it with everybody. So when God speaks to me to do something like this, it's not, believe me, it's not theatrical. Although I have seen people use it that way, so many times I've been in services where people use this as a prop. Oh, you know, all of a sudden they get up, they throw their notes down and say, oh, God gave me something else. And it's just a prop that they use all the time. I don't want that. I don't do that. This is God speaking to me. And I'm trying to be obedient. And I'm uncomfortable with it. You understand? That's what I'm trying to say. But I want it to come forth in such a way that this word becomes life to you, and that the things I say this morning will make such a transition in your life that you will be able to move into new areas. And God will be able to show you how to pull down some of these strongholds and cast down these imaginations that have controlled you. First thing I want to talk about this morning is the fact that we are at war. Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 16. Now it happened as we went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. Now, we'll stop right there because I really feel like I need to say some things about that particular scripture. This woman was possessed with a spirit of divination. That right there is the spirit of Python. If you'll do some, I'm just going to let you throw this out to you. All of you, do some research on this. Go to a concordance, Bible dictionaries. Get some reference. Find out. This, actually, what he is talking about here, the spirit of divination, is the spirit of Python. And this woman actually came from the temple of Delphi, which was the temple of Apollo. And in that temple, they were well known for fortune telling. They were well known for, there was particularly an oracle that nations went to get a word from the spirit realm about what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to conduct their business. It was, and it had been at this time in history, it had been there for centuries. And the world just accepted that they could go there and get words. They really believed it. You see, today we don't believe that fortune telling is real fortune telling. In most cases, it's not. You know, most of these people that you see on television and you set up shop around different communities, they're playing games. They're manipulating, controlling people. But But there's in the spirit realm, in satanic forces, there is real fortune telling going on. There is real manipulation and control by the demonic forces over individuals to be able to speak certain things that are going to come to pass. Now, it's always tainted. They speak some truth and they speak lies, because the devil is the father of lies. He can't tell the truth all the time. It drives him crazy. He has to lie. Have you ever encountered somebody that, you know, they just had to lie to you? I've had people in my life I try to stay away from, but they couldn't tell you the truth if the truth was more realistic than a lie. They want to lie. They just have to lie for some reason. That's the devil. He has to lie. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. And he will lie to you. But these things are real in the earth today. We have come to a place in our society where we do not believe the spiritual realm is alive and still working. We don't believe that. We don't want to believe it. It's troubling for us to think about it and think that there might be principalities and powers and rulers of darkness all over the place. We'd rather not think about that. Well, listen to me. As a Christian, we can think about it in these terms. They're out there, but so what? We've got a big God that lives inside of us. We have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We have power to overcome them. We can stand against them, and in Jesus' name, we can cast them out. Hallelujah. We have power that we need to walk in.
Yes, sir.
We forget about it. Listen, we have come to a place in our society where church is not a place to be equipped to fight against the enemy. It's just a place to come and feel good. Amen? And that's why everyone's running all over the country looking for the best place to feel good on Sunday morning. We run from one place to another looking for a feel good. I'm not condemning any churches. I want you to understand. It's people that are not settled. It's people that are not receiving the Word of God. Individuals. And when we run around looking for that feel good, we get a feel good. You can get a feel good. There's a lot of places out there that you can feel good every Sunday morning. But where do you go when the enemy attacks your child? Where do you go when the enemy says you need to leave your husband, or your husband is having issues with alcohol or drugs, or you're having issues within your family, you're having conflict? Where do you go when your finances are falling apart? Do you go to the feel good, or do you go to the place where you know you can get the power of God prayed over you?
That's right, sir.
See, I get tired of the feel goods. They're destroying believers. We're too comfortable.
Yes.
We're getting so comfortable in our Christianity. Yeah. We are at war.
Yes, we are.
There is a battle going on. And you have been requisitioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to fall in line, get in your rank, and fulfill your obligation to do battle.
Right.
You're called. It's not about just helping you get through the next day. It's more than that. Yes, Christ is with you. Yes, the Lord wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Absolutely, I know that. And I'll preach that stuff. But my goodness, we got to recognize the battle is on. The war is here. They refused to declare Vietnam a war. It was always called a conflict. In most cases today, when our leaders talk about it, they talk about it as a conflict. But you talk to people who were in it, they'll tell you what it was. It was war. It was hell. It was horrible. We're in that war. That same kind. You know, the enemy wants you to think, oh, this is just a little skirmish. This is just a conflict. No, it's war. It's a war for your family. It's a war for your soul. It's a war for your children. It's a war for this community. It's a war for our nation. And right now, unless we take a stand in the name of Jesus Christ for righteousness and holiness, the nation is going to suffer the wrath. If there's ever any spirit that has been able to infiltrate the church, it's definitely Python. Because he's sucking the life. He's just squeezing the life out of people. And that's what a python does. You know, it wraps its coils around its victim. And every time they take a breath, it squeezes. And they exhale, it squeezes a little harder, a little more, until you can't breathe anymore. How many have ever felt like you can't breathe? Come on. The enemy's attacking. Let me tell you this, in Jesus' name, we rebuke Python from this church and from the people here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we refuse to allow him to have any kind of authority in this place and in the lives of the people. Now, you go out from this place. You take authority in your family, in your household. You speak the name of Jesus Christ. You anoint it. You anoint your home if you have to. But you stand against these powers. They want to destroy you. And we don't want, and we are not going to allow it to happen in Jesus' name. That's nice. Thank you, Mary. I like it. All right. Well, I didn't get very far with that, did I? Whew. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim us to us the way of salvation. You hear what she was saying? She was right on. She wasn't telling a lie there. She was saying, these men are men of God. Absolutely. They were men of God and they were proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they went. She was telling the truth and she discerned that not through physical means, not through five senses, but she discerned it spiritually through the python that had wrapped itself around her, the divination. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her, and it came out that very hour. Now, we are not told why Paul put up with this for as long as he did. It says many days. I'm sure he was annoyed long before that. Why it went on and on, I don't know. I can't give you any answers for that, but I do know that finally Paul got fed up with it. He got tired of this spirit tagging along behind him and making noise. And he turned to it, and he spoke to it, and it came out in Jesus' name. Yes. In the name of the Lord. Because he knew who he was in Christ. He didn't have to make believe. He really understood that the blood of Jesus cleansed him of all his unrighteousness. He really understood that Jesus had delegated authority to him and to every believer to stand against principalities and powers in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You all right? Do you need prayer? Yes. Okay. All right. Praise God. Just want to make sure you're okay in Jesus' name. All right. And of course, we know that encounter created lots of problems for Paul. He was brought before the magistrates because he had taken a source of income from those people. You see, it was real to them, just like it's real today. But they didn't question whether she was really being manipulated and controlled by a spirit. They recognized it right from the beginning. And they didn't like it when Paul cast that spirit out. They lost their source of income. Second thing I want to talk to you about this morning. Ephesians 6, 10 and 12. You've all read this scripture many a time. I've quoted it a few times this morning. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Paul is not, he's not saying, finally, I'm wrapping things up here. No, Paul is, he's trying to say to them that the finality of this whole thing is here. This is it. I want you to hear what I'm about to say, Paul's saying. Listen closely to this. Because it's very important. He's referring to, not to the conclusion, but rather that he's saying, this is, finally, this is what it boils down to. This is life's challenge. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay, hallelujah. This is who we wrestle against. All right, everybody look at me. Thank you. Isn't it amazing that when you start reading the Word of God, how you get sucked into the Word of God? I challenge you to do that at home. But when I'm teaching, I need you to listen to me, okay? That's good. I'm glad you want to read the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Do it more often at home. Principalities and powers, rules of darkness of this world. What we see here is the rank of the enemy. Now, I know all that there are highly educated people that would tell you that Paul, these are metaphorically way of speaking to reinforce the reality that there are spiritual forces, and he wasn't talking necessarily about rank. No, Paul's not stupid. Paul is trying to give us some insight into the spirit realm. He's trying to tell us, look, there are principalities and powers. There are rulers of darkness. There are spiritual wickedness in high places. There's rank in the enemy's camp, just like there's rank in God's camp. Now, we all know that we are truly, when you're a born-again believer, God doesn't look at anybody and have more favor on one than he has on the other. I don't care what Pastor Dan says. He may be God's favorite, so am I. So are you. He was just joking, I know. But it's important that we recognize God's favor is on every one of us. However, God does, even in his kingdom, establish people by rank. You know, he establishes pastors to lead the church. He establishes elders to help rule and maintain. He establishes deacons to help minister and distribute. You know, that's rank in the church. Overall, over the whole world and the kingdom of God, there are people that are higher in rank than a local pastor. Apostles. Apostle usually is over churches. But regardless, there's people who walk in certain places. That doesn't mean they have any more spiritual authority than you have. They've just been given rank by God because, most of the time, because they're willing to accept the responsibility. Billy Graham was, I would consider him a giant in the faith. He didn't take on that responsibility because he wanted the world to look at him and say, oh, look at Billy Graham. It was obvious by his life. Right. He did it because he wanted to please God. As long as we have spiritual leaders in place like that, we're going to be all right. It's those arrogant ones that get up and want all the attention and looking to people to look to them and know who they are. Those are the ones that cause us trouble. Thank God, he's weeding them out. Amen. Amen. Have you noticed that? God's weeding those people out of the way. He's placing godly men in positions that he can trust with his word, that it will walk and serve and walk by faith on a regular basis and encourage the body of Christ. Stand with the body. So here's what is very important. Just like the army would have, or any military service would have, rank, and we're going to talk more about this later on, so does the enemy. He has a rank in his forces. He, you know, corporals, sergeants, lieutenants, lieutenant majors, generals, all the way up to what we would refer to maybe 4-star general. I don't know how many stars there are in generals. But there, is it 4? Yeah. 5, someone said? Oh, okay. All right. But, you know, the reason I'm talking about this, I just want us to understand that the enemy that we are fighting against is very organized. He's organized. They know their purpose, which is to defeat and destroy anything that is godly, that comes from Yahweh, and to tear down God's people. They know their purpose. And they are fighting and warring against us every day of our life. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, when he was writing this, he said this: put on the whole armor of God. Get ready. Be ready every day. Now, this is so good for us to recognize that the armor that God gives us, it's not hard. You know, it's not. How many saw Iron Man? Did anybody see that movie, Iron Man? What a movie. But the thing I liked about Iron Man was that he got on this conveyor and he just kind of moved through, and the armor just boom, 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 it was put on him. We're kind of like that. If we'll get on the conveyor belt of God, every morning, we can just have that armor slapped right on us. Because it comes from the Word.
Yes, sir.
The armor is evident that it's all Word-based.
Yes, sir.
It all comes from what Christ did for us, not what we can do on a daily basis.
Right.
On what He did by hanging on the cross and shedding His blood for us. We have this powerful armor and weapons. You know, we've been given weapons to do warfare. Okay, we're going to move on here. Enemy is well organized. The second thing is that, or the third thing, believers must engage in the battle. And then I'm going to wrap things up here real quick. Believers must engage in the battle. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Beginning with verse 15. Go back to 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then his disciples came to Jesus privately and said, hallelujah. You need something, Noah? Okay. Okay, we'll do that at the end of the service. All right? All right, would you please just move over out of the way here, right there beside Tammy's fine. You can sit right there. Okay. All right. Thank you. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cursed from that, or cured from that very hour. And his disciples came to him privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now, I've done some teaching on this, and I want to make it perfectly clear. Unbelief is not a lack of total faith. It's a place where we have come, where we're just not believing for that instant. We're not believing that it can happen. You know, it doesn't mean that you've lost your faith in Jesus Christ. It means that you're struggling, you're battling. And the reason you're battling is what Jesus says next. "However, this kind does not go out except for prayer and fasting." Jesus made it perfectly clear to us that when we get in a place where we're struggling with our faith and we're getting weak in our faith, there's a way to overcome that. There's a way to build our faith back up. It's called prayer and fasting. It's called bringing your flesh under subjection. It's called allowing your spirit to have rule over your body. You see, here's the problem in most of our cases. What we do is we are a spiritual being. I believe we're a spirit that has a soul, and we live in this body. And in most cases, well, in every case, the soul realm that we have is the bridge between the body and the spirit. The spirit's been born again. When you make Jesus your personal Savior, you are spiritually born again. Hallelujah. But guess what? That soul realm, which contains the mind, the will, the emotions, it has to be taught. It has to learn. It has to come to the place where it'll allow the spirit to have dominion over it rather than the flesh. And most of us, rather than be spirit-controlled, are flesh-controlled. So the flesh is controlling our soul realm. And we've got this epic battle going on between our flesh and our spirit all the time. And that's why Jesus said the way to overcome that is here's a weapon. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. It'll bring your body under subjection to your spirit. Okay, so here's what, you know, the reason I shared that with you is I want you to see that there are weapons that you have. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, you can turn there because I'm about to wrap this up if you like. But it says this, "The weapons of your warfare are not carnal," they're not fleshly. They're not the same kind of weapons that the world fights with. "The weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and the casting down of imaginations." You see, he says it's the weapons that God gives you are mighty. They're mighty spiritual weapons that will pull down strongholds. And strongholds are the enemy's strongholds that are in our lives. And it will cast down the imaginations or the things that we are thinking because the enemy has strongholds in our life. So we can overcome these things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And they give us the ability to overcome. They give us the ability to cast down. They give us the ability to stand against. And they give us the ability to stand against every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And they bring into, here's really important stuff, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's our problem. We are allowing our thoughts to run wild. We do it. Oh, listen, I'm guilty. I want you to know, I'm not condemning you and saying, oh, I've got a handle on this thing. I just know what the Word says. I understand that He's saying that we have to capture our thoughts. Yeah. That's why television sometimes is so dangerous. We sit in front of that boob tube, and we are just constantly filled with things that are ungodly. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, I'm not talking about as much as there is, you know, sexual things on there and violence. And sometimes it's just words that are being spoken that are not of God. And they get into our spirit. And they allow strongholds to be built up inside of us, in our soul realm. And the enemy gets strongholds there. And when he gets a stronghold, then there's all kinds of imaginations that come forth from that. That's why we need to cast it down in Jesus' name. Be careful. We've all got to be very careful what we're allowing to come into our life, wherever we are. It can be something pretty innocent at work. You start hearing women at work or men at work talking about how dissatisfied they are with their marriage. Let me tell you something. That'll creep into your life if you're not careful. Don't let that have a stronghold. Don't stand around and listen to that stuff. Get away from it whenever possible. You don't want that. Because the enemy eventually will start saying to you, you know, she's not so great after all. Or he's a bum. You know, he's not doing what you want him to do all the time. Every moment of the day. Every breath. Come on, you're not going to go there, are you? You're not going to say a thing. Okay. Hallelujah. I'm just joking. Praise God. That's how the enemy gets into us, though. It can be very subtle. That's Python. It creeps up on you. It wraps around you. And before you know it, you have no idea why you're thinking the things that you're thinking. Why your life is falling apart. Why you're going in this certain direction. Other people around you will say, what is wrong with so-and-so? They've lost their mind. It's the enemy. He's built up strongholds. He's gotten the control. He's wrapped his coils around you. And you're doing his bidding, whether you like it or not. Amen. Weapons. We have weapons. I want to make sure that we understand this. We have weapons. Believers must engage in this warfare, but we have weapons to use in this warfare. Some of the weapons that we have is the Word of God. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Come on, when we know the Word of God, we can stand against the enemy. We have weapons. We have prayer. We have fasting. We have worship. These things are all held together. There's others, but these things are all held together with the sheath of faith. And when we carry them in faith, when we need them, I pull that sword out. I'm going to tell you something. When I pull the sword out and the enemy knows that I understand the power of the Word of God and what I'm speaking, he can't stand before me. He can't stand before you. He has to flee. God's Word is that powerful. Stand with me. We're going to talk some more about spiritual warfare and war, and how we can be victorious. We're going to recognize the enemy. We're going to know who he is. We're going to be able to defeat him. And we're going to rise above. We're going to rise up to be the people that God has called us to. We're going to take dominion. Do you believe we're supposed to have dominion? I do. I do believe we're supposed to have dominion. God wants his people, his kingdom people, to walk in kingdom principles. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.